Yesterday, I celebrated the final wedding here at Holy Name for 2017. And I attended the final wedding reception of 2017. The couple's venue for the wedding reception was a building by Flying Cloud Airport. It looks like a barn. It's named something else, but indeed it is a barn that's been redecorated. And for this couple, it was the right venue as they start this next chapter in their life. Following dinner and before the dance, there was a fire and a fire pit outside. People were gathering around it, and I really wanted to join them. However, I was wearing the best of my black attire, my best suit. And all I could think of is getting the smell of smoke on that suit. Worse than that, I was afraid that wearing it again this morning, you would smell the smoke, but I wouldn't. Now that happens to us. Actually, there's something that goes on inside of us, medically speaking, that smells seem to go away, or our ability to detect them goes away the more we are exposed to them. This is a true fact. So smells can get worse, but we won't recognize it. Procter & Gamble discovered that. One of the scientists of Procter & Gamble developed a product called Febreze. All the other air fresheners try and mask smells by a good fragrance. These scientists did something different. They developed chemicals that when it mixes with smells like smoke or something else, the molecules in Febreze actually dispel and break up the molecules of fire smoke or anything else. They thought they had a great product and they began to market it, but they discovered something. People would buy it, use it once or twice, and then put it under the shelf. They wouldn't use it again, even though they really needed to. Their market research told them that the ability to smell odors faded the longer you were exposed to them. The exact fear that I had wearing my best suit last night and this morning is actually a fear that was realized. The company did some things to change that. They changed their advertising and added some sense to some of the product that they sell. Smells fading inside of us. I simply want to use that as an introduction into these scriptures. Because what's true of our ability to smell might be true in other areas. In other words, can our relationships start to fade? And to start to fade without recognizing it? Can a relationship between husband and wife start to fade? A relationship between parent and child? A relationship between us and the Lord? Can they fade without recognizing it? I think we all know that that's possible. That relationships can fade when they become routine. Or when things that we say or do that starts to affect it are things we don't recognize anymore. What's true in our individual lives is also true in our world. Salvation history records lots of different times when individuals and societies would walk away from the Lord, the relationship would fade. Sometimes it was in the midst of abundant blessing. I'm blessed. I have it so well. Lord, I don't need to pray as much. I don't need to worship as often. And the result is the relationship begins to fade. The strength weakens. There are other examples too. But whenever the Lord sees that, he offers something new. Whenever he looks and sees where we're at, whenever he looks and sees where we can go, whenever he looks and sees who we can become, our Lord finds ways to intervene, to offer something new to our world, to our individual lives, and to everything in between. The Advent season introduces us to John. And John is the somebody new who's the messenger of the something new that the Lord is offering. John goes to the desert to baptize. And actually, he goes to the lowest spot below sea level that you can stand, the lowest part of where the Jordan River is. He's sent to the desert, he's sent to baptize, and he's sent with a message to deliver. And the message is an awesome one. He says, the time of salvation is at hand. The time for a new beginning has arrived. Our God wants to save his people again. Now, for a first century person living at the time John lived, they would have understood some things that we might not. You see, they knew the past and the history of God's saving love in the past. They remembered other times where God saved his people. And the waters of the Jordan River and the waters of the Red Sea were important places on the earth. When God offered a new life to ancient Israel, they walked through the Red Sea and they journeyed in the desert until they came to the Jordan River, and crossing the Jordan River, new life began. So people in John's time, hearing John go to the desert and going to baptize out there, would have said, something new is beginning. Something new is about to happen. And then they began to look toward the future, to the future coming of the Messiah. Isaiah said, he's coming. He's going to set us free, and it would be about 60 years between the message of Isaiah that Dave proclaimed and the actual fulfillment of it in the return home of God's people. Something new. You and I are invited to be Advent people, to look for another something new. And the other something new is the promise of another coming of the Messiah. Another coming when all will be made straight, all will be made well. There'll be a new dwelling place, and it's a dwelling place in heaven, a dwelling place with each of our names on it, specifically chosen for us. As John proclaimed that message to his people, they began to change. They began to readjust their lives. They began to do what a couple does when they realize that their marriage is fading. They stop and they ask the question, what's been going on? And then they say, what words have to change between us? What actions do we need to change? What values do we have to readjust in order to rekindle the relationship again? Often with a couple, reconciliation is needed. Honey, I am sorry. I didn't realize what I was doing. Dear, I promise I won't do it again. Are oftentimes intimate and personal conversations that go on. When a child's relationship with a parent is affected, the same thing must be done. Actions and words, behaviors and values have to be identified. Reconciliation is needed. And then the time is right to make room for something new. New words, new actions, new values that rekindle the relationship that rebuild the trust, that deepen the love. This Advent, this day, the Lord's extending the same invitation to us. And so I leave you with the question, what needs rearranging? What words need to be eliminated? What behaviors need to be changed? What values have to be repositioned? What do we need to clean out? What smells, so to speak, do we need to get rid of? Things that have caused a fading in a relationship, but we're no longer aware of them. Put positively, where do we need to make room for Christ? In our individual lives, and where does our world need to make room for him? You know the Christmas story, there was no room at the inn in Bethlehem. Pray God that that never be said of you or me or us. Advent's the time to make room and make things ready. If forgiveness is needed, seek that forgiveness. If mercy is what you're hungering for, satisfy that hunger. And making room for Christ this Christmas, if the sacrament of reconciliation is what's needed, please come. Father Evans and I have invited a group of priests. We'll be here Tuesday night, beginning at 7. If Tuesday doesn't work for you, the other parishes are celebrating on other nights. I will be in Mound on Wednesday night. I believe Father Evans will be in Delano. I know St. Jonathan Excelsior is gathering on Thursday night. Just some examples, but there are more out there. We'll both be here next Saturday morning. Seeking God's forgiveness, his reconciliation, the final clearing out of the things we need to clear out so that we can make room for Christ. His desire is to be born again in us. His desire is to be born again in our world. What he's simply waiting for is the invitation to come. What he's graced us with is the ability to welcome him. May we welcome him with joy.